We want to thank Southeastern Seminary's swing singers for their first two selections. I'd like to welcome all of you to this morning's inquiry on becoming human through worship. Our speaker for the morning, Brother Frank, was born in the Netherlands. He studied at the University of Utrecht. He is currently brother in charge of the Teze community on the near north side in Chicago. Brother Frank joined the Teze community, whose home base is in Teze, France, in 1960 and has been working in Chicago since 1966. The presence of the Brothers of Teze in Chicago is an expression of a new approach to the Christian way of life. Theirs is an attempt to live their Christianity by daily encounters with people they meet at work or play in the course of their varied occupations. It's my privilege now to welcome, on behalf of the Southeastern Seminary community and the Missions Conference, Brother Frank.
Shall we start to pray together? With so many of our fellow men, O Lord, we say we believe, but come and help our unbelief. With so many of our fellow men, we search where you are all about and what is particular in our lives that makes us say that you are risen. Grant us, O Lord, today, through your Holy Spirit, some light, some courage to go on, to hope against all hope, and to discover that if you renew us, we will be seeds of change and revolution among men, and signs of joy and brotherly love. Amen. We all come from a past against which we react in one way or another. And you don't need to be a radical or a revolutionary to ask questions. And in whatever context we grew up, in America or in Europe, we are aware of the new future and trying to find today our own ways, which should be new ones, as a Christian. Very hesitantly, we seek a new direction in what seems to be more and more a roadless desert. Because is it too much to say that you and I, we are wandering in a desert on our way to a new land with a little bit of luggage, and we have to find out what it is? Is it our faith in the risen Christ? Living sometimes only out of hope and expectation and not out of certainty. As human beings, we live right now a future, a past, and a present all put together, but we don't know exactly how it fits together. There is in us the awareness that we don't want to be a patient of civilization, but we want to act, to create. We don't want to join the pessimism of many, and still often we don't know how to live with an optimistic vision of faith. We want to actualize life, to bring out life for others. We want to live God today, but we feel enslaved by the categories, and we are not free, although we should be the most free among all men. And we search together. And I'm not here this morning to answer questions, to give an answer. I don't have them as less as you. And the time of trying to give answers maybe is over. We place ourselves in the same direction of search. What we may ask of each other is openness and solidarity in what becomes more and more a common march in which we survive only if we do it together. We will help each other to find the vision of a wholeness of our life and see how we can refuse the dichotomies with which you and I have lived in the past. Although the title of this morning, On Becoming Human Through Worship, again suggests a kind of dichotomy. All I want this morning is to tell you about my response, my search, my becoming in the context of my community. This community in which we live with Roman Catholics and Protestants from different denominations, committed to live a life in community as an adventure of faith among men. We live in celibacy. We share all what we have. We pray together twice a day in the basement chapel of our house. We live from what we earn ourselves by our jobs, secular or ministry jobs. And before all, what we want is together to grow to that community where we read about in the Acts of the Apostles, to become men who, of whom others may say, see who they love each other, to become men who together live in the spirit of gladness, in hospitality, in awareness that their fellow men are men, in breaking of the bread and the other things you read about in the Acts. In the ecumenical perspective, as a question of honesty, as a question to the churches, believing that nothing today anymore can be done if it is really serious about today and tomorrow and about the gospel and about the challenge of fellow man, if it is not done in an ecumenical perspective of life and not only of talk. All that I try to say comes from this context. If we seem to be overwhelmed by so many things, by our studies, by our work, by the war, by racial discrimination, by injustice, by the frustration of our powerlessness, we have at least our own lives where we are free, where we are complete, where we can work for change, and where we can grow. Today in society, maybe it's a good time to rediscover what our Christian identity is all about. Because is not the secular environment forcing us to become who we are supposed to be if we bear the name of Christ? Is not a climate favorable for faith created by a society in which man lives in an attitude of searching and where the pretensions of the past disappear? Are not in the student revolt in Prague, Berlin, Paris, and in this country, the young people pointing to one of man's grave sins, the sin of becoming a thing, and of considering others as a thing, of being faceless, of living in an I-it relation, of losing his points of reference, and the boundaries that he is a personality. Is not the search among men for unity forcing you and me to be one as a person, to be unified, and to place us together in the perspective of the wholeness of the people to which we belong? We are challenged to questions of life and death, questions of becoming, of running toward the goal, or of refusing to choose the ascending path, refusing the pilgrimage, refusing to dive deep in life. And then maybe slowly from under the heaps of secondary cultural elements, the essence of Christianity that was lost, or at least hidden, will come up. And confronted with a society in which man of this technical age more and more refuses faith, although he talks more than ever about religion and God, we are placed before the question of the specificity, what is special for the Christian. In what are we different, if we are different at all? Do we, as many things, have to secularize ecclesiological values? Do we have to secularize worship in order to get in touch with the technological man? Is it enough to quote Bonhoeffer and say with him, to be a Christian is to be a man? Or do we have to go beyond this and say also, with Teilhard de Chardin, to be a man is to adore? It is clear, it seems to me, that in trying to think together what we want about this, we cannot cut anymore the life of a man, of a Christian, in pieces. We cannot separate worship from the rest of the life of the Christian. It is a wholeness. Because as the adventure of the discovery of ourselves and of the life of the world is a lifelong pilgrimage that involves our whole self, also the worship for the Christian can only be seen in the same perspective. To be a Christian means to live constantly in tension. The tension between being open to all that is human, as the rule of Thésée expresses it, and placing this human under the judgment of the risen Christ. The tension between the conformity of human societies and the realities of Christ in us that wants to overcome it. The tension between us becoming ourselves by communicating with others, by co-creating with fellow men, and the experience that a descent in oneself makes us discover that each relationship, even in marriage, implies limitations, that there is something well beyond, there is only human solitude. Tensions between growing with all to generosity and openness and to a deep commitment, and the dimension of adoration and expectancy of the event of God. Tension between service to others and helping people in need, and the vague awareness that in enabling others to become human, to have life abundantly, the question comes to us, what do we mean? What life are we giving? In becoming, I'm trying to find out what is true to me. We're meant to be true, to be authentic, whole, real, and not phony. not to be true or search for it is to die. But this truth has to be incarnated in a way of living, in a commitment. And in order to become, to discover more deeply this truth, we have to participate in it. A spectator, an uninvolved bystander, who is afraid to jump, will never know this truth. And for the Christian, this man for others, as Bonhoeffer said, who explicitly wants to refer his life to the risen Christ and with his fellow men in the faith, wants to be a sign of community, of communion, of fraternal love. For this Christian, the life of worship makes him participate in him who is the truth. In the worship where alone or with his brothers, the Christian keeps himself in God's presence. He rediscovers the meaning of his life, which in fact is nothing else, as the apostle says, than the life of Christ in him. In fixing his eyes on Christ, in opening himself to Christ that he may enter in the depths of my personality, where so many areas of unbelief and darkness exist, and therefore we understand so well people who do not believe, because it's the dialogue going on in ourselves day after day. In fixing our eyes on Christ, the truth grows in us, as does love, without us knowing hope, if only we throw our whole life into it. God will humanize us as a gift. He will transform us into a human being if only we let him fill our emptiness, which is so well analyzed by Bob Dylan, and if we live accordingly. In this pilgrimage, and it becomes more and more clear that we are in pilgrimage, sometimes indeed alone, down in dark valleys, where the goal and meaning of everything we are living disappears, we learn slowly that we do not exist as just for ourselves. We are part of a world. We communicate. We live and grow in relation to others. Together we co-create. We receive and give. To choose to live is to choose to communicate, to listen, to seek communion, to give and receive. And in Christ, through the Holy Spirit, God did seek communion with us. Among all my I-thou relations, he is my fundamental thou. In taking time for this relation, in accepting to live in this presence, I'm constantly challenged to refuse to let my relations with other people, with my fellow man, to become I-it relations. But as I said, in these relations, even for the married couple, as for me as a celibate, there are limitations. There is this incredible human solitude. To refuse in our lives this human solitude will make us revolted people who will always revolt. To accept it will open for us a way of peace and will make for the Christian it possible to discover an unknown relationship with God, a new dimension in its life. To accept the measure of solitude, this condition of all human life, Christians and non-Christians alike, stimulates with Christ an intimacy and makes us discover that Christ alone takes us away from the overwhelming solitude and despair of man who is faced with himself. Thus, how can we expect to share with God if in this relation and in other relationships, if we refuse to share with our fellow man, if we consider only God and me? How can we even say that we communicate with God if we refuse to communicate on the same level, in the same depth, with the same commitment, with those next to us, black, white, poor, rich? In the worship, which we do with continuity, to us is restored the oneness of the life with God and the life of activity, which are inseparable. In wasting our time with Jesus, because we love him and want to know him better, he will enter into inner regions of us. Man will find himself only if in doing all what he does, he enters into himself where God waits for him, if only he listens. And only then man is able to become the revolutionary who is needed. Who is needed because of Christ and the gospel. And the young generations especially are challenged and called to be outflowing, to be breaking down barriers, breaking out of ghettos, to be with man and for man wherever he is. And young men and women committed to Christ, sharing with him in the silence of their lives, and they know what silence is if you listen to Simon Garfunkel. Or in the joy of the celebration, young men may become seeds of humanity. Our becoming is never finished. It's always over and over again, responding to a new discovery, a new sharing, a new giving to the other, a new event of God which we discern somewhere, sometime. And so we build, we grow and participate in the mystery. And my life means only something if I begin to function as part of something more important than myself. My life becomes tendent to something beyond myself. And in offering it to God and man, in celebrating the communication and sharing, we grow to humanness. Celebration, a key word. Celebration, what is tuning in, entering into that life of the world which is really life, and where it is not death. Life because of Easter. Life because of the Spirit who renews the faith of the earth. Life because somewhere in my despair, as in yours, there is a cry that says, I want to live. I live. There is justice somewhere. There is peace possible. And love is not everywhere dead. And making with God and man of good, with all men of goodwill, the earth a livable place, building the city, the Christian community, and the Christian lives where the vertical of God and the horizontal of man come together. It celebrates in the midst of chaos the resurrection of Christ, and it may be the only thing it's really capable of doing. It partakes in building the kingdom. It gives itself for the needs of the world more than it has done, or is doing, or is willing to do. For peace, justice, freedom. It is a sign of the reality of this Christian community to come because of its unity, because of its fraternal love, because of its joy. It celebrates there where death exists, that there is life possible. It discerns with gratitude and wonder that Christ is everywhere, that we can see where is the church, but we cannot see where she is not. It discerns the presence of Christ in the secular reality, and it rejoices in it. But at the same time, it continues. Because of why? Because of a mystery. Explicitly to refer to Christ, although many others doing exactly the same thing may not be doing it. Why am I a believer? Why is my best friend in Holland even not baptized? I don't know. I will never know it. I only know that if I want to become myself, if I want to be faithful to what has been entrusted to me, I can only continue without asking too many questions, to confess explicitly, visibly, with brothers, by a way of living, that the Lord is risen. Am I better? Certainly not. Do I more for others? Not necessarily. Charity is not exclusively Christian. Peace is not. Justice is not. There are few things which are exclusively Christian, if there are at all. But in keeping myself before God as a mysterious necessity in the community, standing, sitting, or kneeling, I want to adore my Creator. And this is what, as far as me concerned, will make me man. In this world, the Christian community, you and I, are the signs among men that in adoring our Creator, in accepting our dependence, that the man of age will really become man. A mystic of the Middle Ages, Meister Eckhart, said once to one of his disciples, talking about the great difficulties that prayer and faith always are, that faith is such a useless thing. He said, some people want to see God with their eyes as they see a cow, and they love him as they love their own cow. It's a little bit agricultural. They love their cow for the milk and the cheese and the profit it makes them. But if you ask a good man, why are you seeking God? He will reply, just because he is God. And maybe today, we are forced again to rediscover that our searching, it's our free choice. That prayer and worship do not need justification, as love doesn't need it either. You don't need to ask what is the use of love in order to love. So we shouldn't ask what is the use of worship, but do it, and not wait doing it till we have rational motivation. Maybe we should see prayer and worship as a possibility for us to express on a special way our humanity as fully as possible, as a privilege we have received. As yesterday evening Professor Weber was saying, Our presence among men should be a demonstration of what we want to live, have to live, if we call ourselves Christians. And more, the first principle of mission of you and me is to build, by committing ourselves, the sign of the community, of a community of people that live in solidarity, that carry each other's burdens, that share what they have. And I'm convinced that one of the great questions to come is a new vision of property. Are we able to express our becoming human by sharing what we have with others and refusing to see personal property as the highest glory of God? It's one of the great questions we are going to face, I'm sure. Where we share, where we weep with those who weep, and where we celebrate the mighty deeds of God in Jesus. Not a sermon first, maybe not a sermon at all, but be prepared to give one if we ask. But the quality of the life of a community. Then we will reveal to man by the simple fact of our existence who he is. A man of community, a man of dependence, and in the Kyrie eleison, we express and acknowledge that the kind of freedom we are talking about is the freedom of the Kyrie eleison. In the come, Lord Jesus, come now, we express the longing for the kingdom. And in celebrating the incarnation of the Lord in the community, we train ourselves to seek Christ in others, in the man in the street, if he is a Christian or not, who all reflect the image of him. We don't need to bring Christ to others. He is there. We are questioned by the quality of our lives to reveal men to himself in order that he may discover who he is in Christ. We are challenged to be really present to him, next to him. Presence. A presence, a being in the heart of the masses. The poor, the rejected, the rich. We cannot go anymore and commute and preach. We have to share the lives of the people. We cannot know about the people we are talking to as long as we continue to live in the ghettos of our own situation. Presence of the church, just being there and live the life of the community. To be there as people, to be there as a doxology, as a praise to the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, by words, by deeds, by a way of living. To be there also as humbly listeners, eager to discern the prophetic word in others, before thinking that we have a prophetic word to say. To be there and the seed, as the seed that dies, and God will do the rest. To be there humbly, because we are nothing else than useless servants. But to be there with the certainty, if there is one, of faith that Christ is risen, and that therefore and therefore alone we do what we do, and we will continue to do till the end of our lives. To be there gazing on Christ, because he will transform the world, the church, us, if only we offer ourselves. I don't know if the room is too big to enter into a kind of dialogue, but we still have some 15 minutes left. I'm not able to talk a whole hour. Maybe there is some possibility of clarifying things if somebody wants to ask a question or say something or share something of his searching, his vision. Who wants to start as a second, because it's always easier than to be the first? In a time where we all, in one way or another, probably react instinctively against the institutional church, it's very difficult to clarify maybe our position. We are not the institutional church, but we are not out of it either. Maybe what we could say is that as in the New Testament, as baptized people, we are a manifestation, as you are, as we all are, of the presence of Christ among men, because where two or three are gathered in the name of Christ, there he is. Is this sufficient for your answer? I grew up in the Church of the Netherlands and grew up with a very narrow understanding of what the church is. It's only when you belong to the Church of the Netherlands and did the things others did and went to listen to the sermon and on Sunday morning, which was a rather long one in general, and prayed as they prayed, that you were considered as belonging to the church. To that church. But thanks be to God, I think today we see that we cannot easily ourselves place outside of the church, as long as baptized people we try to build something in which the gospel is realized. If at the same time this is not done as a judgment on others, because then it can never be the gospel, in saying we do it better than you do, or we are the church and you are. And as long as we do not, what in our Protestant tradition was such an easy thing to do, start a new denomination. And it seems to me that what in Taizé we have wanted to do is to discover a new way of renewing the church without building a new Protestant denomination, what we have done since the Reformation. By leaving it in a sense, but going back into it on a special way. And I think this is the only way of doing it for us. Others may do it differently. To find special ways of presence related to the church in which you give yourself as much as possible. As long as there exists, and I think this is very important today, compassion. As long as the thing we are going to build has something in it of the spirit of the Beatitude. As long as not the new thing on such a way disqualifies the people of the old, that in a sense we become as sectarian as others are. And today, in this time of church, in this time of searching, I think there's a lot of sectarianism what threatens us. A lot of exclusiveness, a lot of My thing is the better new thing, and your thing is not worthwhile. It's too old. It's too institutional. I think we should place ourselves on a different level. And as far as us concerned, in our community, the brothers participating in Chicago in hundreds of things, participate in hundreds of polarizations. But as a community, we refuse the polarization, but want to reconcile, want to bring together. And it seems to me that when this is done, not too many questions about, are you about institutional church, yes or no, are they? I think I, for myself, because I am, I've tried to be a Christian, my way of participating in responding to the needs of people is related to Christ. But I have met too many people who have done much better things than Christians to believe that it would be the only motivation possible. If I would not be a Christian and seek for a very efficient way of changing society, maybe I would go and build in America the Communist Party. And maybe it would be much more efficient than the churches are till now. Maybe. I think our motivations of social involvement are not exclusively because of Christ. For me, they are. But there are many others for whom they are not, and they do exactly the same thing. And then the question for me becomes, what is making me different from that person? Because there must be something about being a Christian. When I have lived my whole life with non-Christians in Europe, why did I believe this foolish thing that somebody was risen from the dead? Because I was born from parents, but I had left the church. I have been related to the Communist Party in Holland. And through the peace movement, I came back into the Christian tradition. But I have met too many people with too beautiful ideas who did much better things than I with all my Christianity. But still, I would say for me and for you probably, we will do them and let us do it more than we do because of Christ. But question us, in which then is that man there and you and I different? I wonder if not more and more the gospel is a complete useless thing to use in society and is only there for us and for all men as a way of celebrating the mighty deeds of God. But we cannot use it too well in order to do many things. Maybe I'm confusing you more and more in doing it. Maybe that's what I want.
Thank you.
I think more and more for us in Teze, the mission before everything else is to try to become more and more faithful to the gospel we want to live and let the rest to God. And believe that wherever man among man try to do this, committing themselves with their whole life to live it, wonderful things are able to happen. But that's not because we go out. We have to. But before all, because we are again that group of people or that person that wants to die, and God will give us the possibilities to radiate. That's not my work, that's God's work. And I would say that the mission from going out in the sense of preaching is much more to renew the Christian community and becoming the Christian community. And then see that something great is able to happen. It's much more on the ecumenical level, what I think is essential in the mission of the church. To rediscover that by the quality of unity among people, not uniformity, but it's some very strong unity, God is proclaiming great things among men. But because we try to live it, we do it very badly, but we try to. And this is for us ecumenism, if you want. This is for us searching the unity of man, of Christians. Living in Chicago with Roman Catholic, Episcopalians, Lutherans, and others is not a kind of funny wing thing to do, because everybody does strange things these days. So why not we too? But it is convinced that we have to place ourselves in a new direction, not because we have the solution, but because we trust. And we struggle with all the differences and all the complications and all the sufferings, and there are many in our daily life as divided Christians, because we are in it with our whole upbringing, with our whole background, and it's awfully difficult. And then to slowly to discover that there is a dimension which we have completely lost and which we have to rediscover if we want to be honestly talking about mission. And if we are able again, as the disciples of Emmaus, to walk with our fellow man, to break bread with him, and maybe afterwards to see that in him we did meet Christ. Maybe we only see afterwards. If this kind of attitude, I know, when we would talk in a parish somewhere and say this, we have to make explicit hundreds of things. But at the same time, and we have to continue to do many things, you and I, because of our past, we cannot do as if we start from zero today. But we have to convert our whole way of looking, I would say, in this mission. And I am certainly not a humanist. I'm a Christian. And I think in different categories, as the category of Christians and from in that many people think. Like essentially we would completely agree, because we would place everything in Christ. But the way of working it out may be different. I think the more we live among men in Chicago, or in Europe, or the brothers in Latin America, we have brothers in Latin America and in Africa, the more we come to the conclusion, which is always a searching, and maybe next year we'll say something else, that at one hand we have to proclaim the resurrection of Christ with all the means we have, and to sing it out, because it's the greatest thing you can say in your life. In the other hand, we can only live it, and in many cases, let God do the speaking. Because often we are saying so many things that nobody hears what we say, or doing so many things that nobody hears what we say. And it is the doing that has to change. Yes, you can do it. This one more, you know. Yes, I'm afraid I'm not again kind of sleepy eye. It seems to me, it seems to us that the our whole way of looking to the poor, poor nations, of giving alms, of spending maybe 1% of what we have for the poor, is a very poor way of doing. At first, he should brought in the reciprocity. We have as much to receive from the poor than we give them. But secondly, we would say, if not in America and in Europe, among the, those living in the wealthy countries, you and I, a very new mentality grows concerning that where the first Christians were very strong about, and where through the history of the early church, many church fathers were talking about, and that some books have been written recently which covered were the church fathers communists. This thing that because we are brothers, because what we have is not ours, but we receive it to our use and to make the earth livable, and we should rejoice in it and be happy with it, as long as there is this incredible growing inequality between you and me and two-thirds of mankind, here in America and especially in Latin America and Asia and Africa, we cannot just continue and giving a lot of dollars for the mission or for development. I'm not saying we should stop doing it necessarily, but we have to wonder if not something more fundamentally has to change in our way of living. Well, you and I should be capable to place ourselves outside of this polarization of communism and something else, or of capitalism and something else. But where we rediscover that if we really want to be a Christian community, we have to go beyond the sharing which we are able to do at the moment. And we have to find new ways of expressing that a community cannot be a community as long as we do not share with each other who we are and what we have. Although we are talking about a community and we don't know what we are talking about. We are fooling ourselves and especially others. That's what I read in the Gospel. And certainly, our answers will all be different. They shouldn't be the answers I try to give on a very very bad way, I'm sure. I don't have an answer. But we should be struggling with it, overcoming the categories of our mentality in which I have grown as much as you. And maybe I have learned a lot here from people from behind the Iron Curtain, Christians, not communists, Christians, young Christians, who, for example, from Czechoslovakia, who were in Teze last summer in France, a large group of young Christians, because we have had brothers in Czechoslovakia from the beginning of this year till they had to go out and the event. To see how in this new, this different kind of society, which I'm not going to choose, a kind of challenge is placed before Christians, which I sometimes would like to see placed before you and me, so that we cannot say it's a problem and then pass by, but we have to go through it. And I think the whole thing of material good is one of the things that we can no longer pass around, but struggle with in a different way. Because of Christ and the Gospel, and only because of that. Sure. Sure. For you and me, we can do that because we have made a decision for Christ, right? So for us, there's no other way of doing what we are doing. I'm completely agreeing with you. But, and then I have to repeat what I tried to say. At the other hand, I agree with you, just a minute, that we have said yes to Christ. But I, from my part, I'm probably a very bad Christian. The more I sometimes think I understand of the Christian faith, the more I say to myself this, I believe, Lord, but help my unbelief. And maybe it's one of the things that comes up in my heart more and more and more. That does not away with this yes that you and I have said. But it places me later in a kind of discovery of myself where I see that saying yes to Christ is one thing, and to making him the Lord of the whole of my life is a very different one. Because I don't know the whole of my life. And very slowly, only when I'm willing, when this fight goes on, the other parts of myself will be under his lordship once. But this is, I think, the experience of somebody like Charles de Foucault, the Roman Catholic who was killed in the Sahara in 1960, who at the end of his life said, and it's a very strange, but I would like to give it to meditate, strange expression, I don't know if I love God, I even don't know if he loves me. And he died as, I think, a saint, as a great witness of Christ. And still he was able to say, I think we are not exclusive of each other. But there is a human experience, and which I feel more and more coming up in many, many people, which we, I think, should participate in. Yes, there was another question, but no, I'm sorry.
If you have any other comments to make, I think you'll be able to find.